Paid for by IMIC Incorporated.
The Cure with Amy Cabo is brought to you by IMIC Research. Life can bring many difficult situations, domestic violence, addictions, poverty, and even sexual abuse by your loved ones. Welcome, Amy Cabo and The Cure.
Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us today. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. We created the show as a safe space to show that there is hope after going through difficulties, no matter what type, or if you're suffering in any way. We will try to help you. I'm trying to use testimonies to that effect and inviting professionals and inspirational speakers that can help with suggestions. As a survivor, I hope to inspire others, encourage transparency, and find strength in knowing that those who suffer are not alone. And those that heal against insurmountable odds do exist. I'm also here joined by Dr. Boris Nikolov.
Hello.
My partner in life and at work. We do everything together. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. Didn't Jesus say that? Do we actually do that? How often do we treat others the way we would like to be treated? Or do for others what we would like them to do for us? It's much easier said than done. St. Francis said, it's better to understand than to be understood. He also said, Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. I believe peace is achieved with kindness. Being kind to others is best achieved when you try to put yourself in the other person's shoes. That's a great way to understand others. And since most of us are kind to ourselves, we know how to be kind to others. A lot of times we suffer simply because we don't know better. Learning to live your life right is a great preventative measure. Not living right can be a setup for failure. Today, I want to talk about how to live a better life and how to solve problems. And we have a special guest, entrepreneur businessman, who reached the heights of his success simply by being kind to others. Today's guest is Bill DeBarba. Bill DeBarba is an entrepreneur for 40 years, managed to grow successfully his company, Businessware Services. Bill is also a public speaker with many years of experience. He learned how to recognize problems from the other's point of view, and he shares that knowledge in his book, The Process of Living. The book explains how to manage the concepts of acknowledging thoughts, understanding feelings, and taking actions. This helps solving problems efficiently. Bill, welcome to the show. You're on The Cure.
Thank you, Amy. I appreciate being here.
I would like to invite Bill to share with us his knowledge and help us understand a little more about the process. How is it best to solve a problem?
Well, solving a problem is first, of course, identifying the problem and understanding that the first instinct of laying blame, whether it's to yourself or to others, is the worst possible thing you can do. There is a process that we can follow. And the process consists of three very simple things: our thoughts, our feelings, and our actions. In point of fact, that's how we define ourselves. We are the combination of those three things. And when we set that process in motion in a way that really focuses on the objective, as opposed to having other people control us, by taking over those process for us allowing them to do that, or trying to do that from someone else. One of the things I'm very proud of in my 40 years of business, I never dealt with a lawsuit of any kind. Whether we filed or someone else filed against us, it never happened.
Nice.
And why that happened was because I learned very early on that if someone is acting upset, acting rude, acting in a negative way, I can respond to that, or I can put that into my process and determine what the solution might be. The actual working of the process is really the communication between your thoughts, your feelings, and your actions. That communication, to the extent that it is consistent and it is firm, can accomplish literally anything.
Nice. So basically what I'm understanding is that it's best to take accountability and have ownership for your actions. And I understand if in your book, The Process of Living, you give a basic premise upon which way to do this. And I believe you said something about it's important to put yourself to see the other point, the other person's point of view. Can you tell me a little bit about that? Because sometimes somebody can say something to us that makes us angry, or that we can get offended, or we can get our feelings hurt. How do we overcome that so we can have an appropriate response?
That's a very good question. And the way we overcome that is owning our feelings about it. Not having the other person able to say things that cause us to respond in a way that is contrary to everyone's best interest. So, if someone makes me feel a certain way because of how they speak, I have to realize that my feeling is a result of my response to what they say. Not what they said, it's how I respond to it.
And you can only control yourself, not the other person.
Exactly. And that's always the case. And I think most people, you know, when they're having a nice quiet drink with friends, can talk about this in theory, and it's wonderful, but the fact of the matter is, applying it when it's going on is the real test.
It's a great challenge.
It is. It's a very good challenge. It's a growth, is really what it is. You see, what happens is we've learned over time what I call learned responses. There are many different types of learned responses that we have. I mean, you and I can stand up and walk across the room with no problem at all. We don't have to think about what signals are being sent from our brain through the spinal column to the muscles and all of that. We don't have to think about that. It's happened automatically, but it wasn't always that way. When we were little children, we had to learn to walk. We had to think about what we were doing, how we were moving, and so on. So what happens is we did it enough times that our subconscious said, oh, I understand now, when you want to walk, this is what you want me to do. I'm going to remember that, I'll file it away, and that's how I'll know what to do every time you have that thought. So that's a learned response. That's a very simple one. We all go through it. But there are other learned responses that are not necessarily so beneficial. If someone says something about the way I look, if someone says something about my lack of intelligence, any of the kinds of things that they might come up with, I may have a response because I have taught myself that response. I have learned that response by watching other people.
Well, yes, because we allow the external world to influence us and we follow suit. I always say be unique, stand out from the rest. Why be like everyone else? Walk Jesus' path.
Absolutely correct. And getting from where you are to getting to there is the biggest challenge of life.
It took me a very long time.
You're not alone, Amy. Believe me, you're not alone.
Boy, did it take me a long time. But it's okay. It's a work in progress. Still.
Oh, yeah. It never stops. We're learning as long as we're on this planet. We're continuing to learn. It never stops. You learned it. Many, many people never do. They'll go through their entire life responding the same way to the same kind of situations, regardless of the negative effect that it takes, because they won't own it. They won't own their learned response. They're putting the blame on the source. You said this to me, it's your fault that I feel this way. It is your fault that I reacted this way. You're forgetting that when you blame, you are giving up power.
So you're saying that we should be accountable for our feelings. And what's the point in getting angry anyway? What does anger produce? What does it give? It doesn't make us feel better. It hurts the other person's feeling. I believe that's, you know, the evil forces want you to get angry. There's no need to.
There isn't, really.
So the response that you want
to have... probably is not helpful to get angry.
No.
Right. No, it's not. Now, there are situations where you have to be firm in your response and you have to be fair and make sure that you are protecting your interests. But that doesn't mean you have to be angry. That doesn't mean you have to be vicious.
Right.
And this is something that we can practice with our children. Sometimes it can be frustrating, but I understand. I mean, I grew up in a very different household where my mother was very angry. And I have to work on being kind. Trust me, it's not easy. But I've been working on it. And I know that it's better when I'm teaching my son something or when I'm asking him to do something. It's better to ask him kindly rather than telling him to do it. Oh, do this. And you just basically get a better response. I think it's also the responsibility of others to be kind to others. But you're right. We need to be responsible for our own feelings.
Absolutely. And I like to think that I've helped my children when they were growing up in this way, because when they had a negative reaction, if I said or did something that hurt their feelings, I would talk about their feelings. I would ask them, how does that make you feel? Why do you think that makes you feel that way? Focusing on their feelings with the understanding that they control that piece. Unless they do, then the other person is controlling you.
What great communication. I would never even think of that. To get the person to examine their own feelings, to get them a moment to think about it, to take a step back, because that would make it easier. The very few times I'm able not to get angry and handle something maturely, I feel so much better. I'm proud of myself. I did it right. Rather than feeling guilty, wow, I don't like the way I reacted. I feel like I'm an ogre. I feel like I'm my mother. It does no good. It's better to take the challenge and do. I mean, be kind, especially when it's not expected.
That's very true. Your attention to the other person's feeling is an immediate when it's going the other way, when someone is reacting to you in a negative way, because you may have opened up their learned behavior that you didn't even know about.
Exactly.
You may have said something that you felt was totally innocent, but somehow it triggered something that was in their file as a learned behavior, and they responded to that. When your response is one of kindness, was one of understanding, tell me how this is making you feel. I didn't understand, you know. Then you're focusing their attention back on their feelings, which is the source.
And you're also letting them know you care.
Oh, absolutely. That's a very important part, because that disarms. When someone is feeling caring, you are disarming their anger, their upset, their viciousness. I mean, you can help to bring that back, and now they have the opportunity to look at and examine their feelings. And why they're feeling this way. And is this really helpful to them? If you respond in anger back, then you're just escalating the entire event in a very negative way.
And can you implement that in business relationship, like in a company? Like if your boss is angry, calm him
I've
down?
I've done it. Well, I was the boss for 40 years.
I know, right.
But really that's not true, because our clients were the true boss. They're the reason we were in business. And I had many situations where something would go wrong, where one of my employees didn't follow through with what they were told to do, or maybe there was a misunderstanding of what was expected. And then I would get a phone call on someone saying, I can't believe your people did this. What kind of an operation do you have? And so on and so forth. Okay?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
I've so gotten what those I phone calls, to do, too.
Yes, you've seen those, too, as well. And what I learned to do very early on was to respond to the problem. Please, I'm sorry this happened. We will take care of it. Now explain to me what it is you need. How can we make this up? What do we have to do to change so that we're back where we are or where we should be? And this has an incredible effect of disarming almost instantly the anger that the other person is feeling.
Yeah.
Because now they know I'm teaming with them to make their situation better. I'm putting in my effort for that. I'm not putting it in to defend myself. I'm not putting it in to tell them they're an ungrateful client.
Yeah.
I'm not putting it in any negative way. I am putting it into the solution of the problem. And guess what? They start putting in the same way.
That's so smart. Beautiful. Like, we had a situation like that. We work with my wife, right? So I have this conversation with one of our clients, and I was getting really angry. And my wife is, hey, treat, what do you say? Treat things with kindness.
Yeah, treat it with kindness. You'll get better results.
Yeah, because she didn't have no reasoning. But, I mean, she's right because she's the client. So, yeah.
But we are completely capable of controlling our anger.
And communicating better.
We really are. We just don't know it. We need to be told, I guess. But well, I definitely want to talk about this some more, because I do think that that's something that's stressing a lot of employees, is that sometimes bosses can get frustrated. Sometimes employees can feel overwhelmed or not appreciated. And when we come back, I'd like to touch up on this subject some more.
And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Your host, Amy Cabo. If this is your first time tuning in, today we're joined by Bill DeBarba. We're talking about how to solve problems. Hi, Bill. I have a question, if that's okay.
Yes.
I learned it. The thing is that sometimes, because of our environment, we do have learned behaviors from when we grew up. And sometimes, whether it be with an employee or even with children, are the most precious things in our life. And we feel that, let's say a kid does not listen or he doesn't do it, then we feel like we have to be strong and say it like with our big person voice and instill a little bit of fear so it could be done right away. But the other way is that we're more persistent and we continue asking. And yes, it takes a little bit more time, but eventually they get tired of you nagging and they do it the first time around. And it's much happier.
That's a hopeful thought. That's a hopeful thought. You know, I think that people sometimes misunderstand the difference between anger and firmness. There is a way of, and anybody will pick it up, whether they identify it with words, they'll know. If you are angry, if you are shouting, you have that look on your face, you have that tone in your voice, even if you're not shouting, there is a projection of anger that anyone will pick up. And they will respond differently from that to that from how they would respond to firmness. Firmness makes it clear this is not negotiable, this will have to be done, and if not, there will be consequences. That can be presented in a way that does not express anger, in fact, expresses love. But it has to be, you have to be conscious of that, because your learned response based on what happened to you when you were a child, and I've read some of this, and quite frankly, Amy, it's amazing how well you've done.
Thank you. Thanks to God.
Yes. But your learned response could be, and I don't know you well enough to know this, but anyone's learned response could be immediate anger. You will not defy me. I'm your parent. You will pay attention, and so on and so on. You understand what I'm saying.
That was a no-no in my house. How dare we not listen to our mother? That was like death. There was no such thing.
Yeah.
So I don't understand this. I have to do, okay, third time around, you lose your phone. It's so much different these days.
It is, because people are afraid to be firm. There are parents who are afraid to be firm. And, you know, again, you have to know how to distinguish between the two. Firmness sometimes is appropriate. Anger is not. It doesn't help.
And how does exactly this process work? You had notable experiences, if you can share with us, in achieving goals that you used for the process of how to work with people and solve situations and take the right action. In other words, living right.
Exactly. A lot of people think that they can't do this unless they can figure out all the steps they're going to have to take and all the actions. And what they don't realize is there is a powerful force in us that most of us don't pay attention to. I call it the subconscious mind. There are other names for it. People call it soul, divine energy, instinct. Doesn't matter. It's an incredibly powerful force that not only manages our bodily functions, make sure everything is coordinated together, make sure our breathing and heart rate are appropriate to what we're doing, and so on and so forth, but it also monitors that combination, that process of thought, feeling, and action. And it will look at that and say, okay, I know what she wants. I will go find it. So what happened? When I worked with customers in a way that said, I want a solution. This was going on within me now. I'm not talking about what I was saying to them. I'm talking about within me. I want a solution. It is amazing how many times something that I would have never thought about would appear.
Nice.
Oh, I can do this.
All it takes is thinking.
It's the thinking along with this instinct, soul, spirit, subconscious, I don't care, whatever you want to call it. It exists, and it will draw for us powerful forces that will help us reach the goal we want, but it doesn't form judgment. It will do that when we're angry, too. It will go find the very things that will support the anger and bring us down. The subconscious is not a judge. It's not your conscience. It is a force that we have that's our servant, and will do whatever we want, whether it's good or bad. Many people, I would say most people, don't recognize what they're putting into action when they put the process to work. So think carefully about how you want this to go, because it will more than likely go that way.
So it's not just about having the right attitude, but about doing the right actions. And the best way to solve problems is to see it from the other person's point of view. Because, I mean, that's very important, because I've always believed in God. That's been the corner of my strength. And for so many years I suffered and I didn't understand, you know, I would go back and forth. And I don't understand, if I prayed so much, why didn't things change? But I was escaping. I was self-medicating. I wasn't doing the right things. I wasn't living right. So you can't expect things to change if you're not living right, if you're not taking the right action, if you're not making the right move, and if you're not treating others the right way, because the way that you treat others reflects on yourself.
That's right. And it generates the energy, good or bad, that you're going to experience, because what did they say? Whatever you give out, you get back.
You get what you put in.
You get what you put in.
Yes.
A wonderful little saying, it says, if you're going to throw a boomerang, be prepared to duck.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
It's a question of, are you understanding the power that is at your disposal, whether it is solving a problem or achieving a goal? It works the same either way. This isn't just about how you respond to other people's input. It's also about, what do I want in life? And if you understand the power that you have at your disposal, then you will go forward. If you don't, you may not have the confidence. You may think, oh, I know I want a new house, but I can't possibly afford it. Why don't I even bother? In which case, the subconscious will say, oh, okay, you don't really want a new house. But if you have trust in this incredible power behind you, there are no real limits that are in your way. Whatever you truly believe, whatever you focus, it will happen.
And I believe that requires insight, knowing what is right, which I believe the Holy Spirit gives you. And I noticed that I wasn't really knowing a lot of things, and I didn't have much insight until I learned to pray every day. And I just, you know, every once in a while, or, you know, sometimes when we grow up, we forget. We do forget. But for me, that's something that I needed. And I know that the mind is a very powerful thing. And people say, believe in yourself, believe in your mind. It's about attitude. It's about belief. Even if you get upset or you get a negative attitude, combat it with a positive attitude. And they say you can do that. But then there's cases where somebody's just in the really, really dark place and they're depressed and they don't care to help themselves. And that was me until I turned to God.
Yes.
But
that's a wonderful way to take the path.
That was the only way for me. I don't know what works for others, but that's what worked for me.
Yes.
Okay, Bill, this is very interesting. So you've been having, your company was dealing with staffing, I was reading?
Well, our company was providing software and services for staffing company. We weren't a staffing company. We were providing the support. We had customers around the country that we were providing them what they needed to run their business.
Nice. So do you think that these processes can be implemented, for example, when you hire employees, like some kind of in the initial interview? Can you get like a glimpse on somebody's soul of a future employee?
It takes some training to be able to do that. I mean, this is a case where you're not necessarily getting a reaction, or you're not responding directly from a personal point of view to what the person is saying or doing. I would find that in interviews, the more I let them talk and the less I talked, the more I would learn.
Yes.
Wow, to be a good listener. I love that.
it's very important, because you're not going to find out the kind of person you're dealing with if you sit there for 25 minutes and a half hour interview and you do all the talking. What are you going to learn?
Yeah, I agree.
I love your thinking.
But isn't it like more appropriate to start structuring hiring people into like a real environment? And then, well, a lot of people probably do temporary hiring, see how they perform in real world life and seeing in real situations,
well,
how they handle situations.
I think it's basically about how you deal with others and how you treat others. And I believe that the most important thing in life is human interaction. I believe that we're set on this earth to be here for each other. So that's what we really need to refine, how we treat others. Because, I mean, it's the easiest way is just to put yourself in their shoes, see it from their perspective. And like you said, Bill, just like you said, exactly like you said, you know, yes.
Well, a big part of that is listening. It's true.
To be a good listener, I think that is so wonderful. It always makes people feel good when you listen to them. It makes them feel like you care, and not just be listening to them, but actually listen, not just hear them.
Oh, yeah.
But listen, because sometimes I tell something to my husband and he's looking at me and he's not really listening.
But I say yes.
Yes. And then he regrets it. What did I say yes to?
Okay. I, as of right now, I'm not going to let my wife listen to this particular
That's segment. So funny. Okay. But for those that are just tuning in, I'm your host, Amy Cavo, and this is The Cure. You can listen to us every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern on your radio or amycavo.com, or later as a podcast.
We will be right back with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz. And now we continue with Amy Cabo and The Cure on 880 The Biz.
Welcome back to The Cure, and thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Amy Cabo, and this is The Cure. And I apologize. I just played a song, and I didn't mean to. I do have love in my life. I don't need a little love in my life. We're back. Thanks for joining us. That song that I just played, Living in My Mama's House. And I wanted to play that, Bill, because I think that part of living well is our attitude. And sometimes when we're living in our mother's house, we feel like we're not succeeding, or we're not good enough. And it's interesting, because I spoke to a doctor friend of mine who was telling me about some kids have really sad stories. And I thought, oh, what's so sad? And she says, this kid never got a toy for Christmas. But does the kid have a good family? Does the kid have food to eat? A roof over their head? Is that where happiness lies? In materialistic things? The car, the job, the career? None of that is going to make you happy. What's going to make you happy is how you feel about yourself. And I feel happy when I have a relationship with God. But what's very important, though, is you can be poor and live in misery, or I know what it's like to be poor. I was very poor. I was a single mother for 8 years, orphaned at 15. But you know what? I learned to appreciate what I did have. I took care of what I did have. I never suffered for not having things. I suffered for not having a family. I suffered for the custody battles I was being taken into for 14 years. I mean, I know reasons to suffer, but it shouldn't be because there's something you don't have. Because what's most important in this life is who you have, not what you have. Wouldn't you agree, Bill?
I agree completely. This is very, very important. And many times we, especially in our culture, we put so much attention and so much importance to the things that we own. And I've reached a point in my life where I don't want to own any more things because the things end up owning you. And it's just...
I get you. Less is more.
Yes, exactly. And the older I get, the more I'm convinced of that. But I have a question for you.
Sure.
You have overcome some incredible obstacles in life, and you have become very, very successful. And you've mentioned several times today that this has to do with your relationship with God and your prayers. What convinced you that that would work? What got you started in thinking, yeah, that's the answer? Did it come all at once, or did you just say, well, I'm going to give this a try? How did that work?
I've asked this to other people, and people have different pivotal points. Sometimes it's somebody that talks to them. Sometimes it's a therapist. Sometimes it's something that happened. And for me, it was going through Facebook. I ran across a rosary video, and all my life I prayed the rosary. But this one was easy. This one is a priest and a nun, and they're praying it for you, so it's very passive. You can just say it in your mind. And in between the prayers, there's music, and there's advice like, set your heart, don't set your heart on things of this earth, but set your heart on the things of heaven, in heaven. And it gives you advice. So I thought, because I always thought it was a lot of work to do a rosary, but this made it so much easier that I started doing the rosary every day. And then, slowly but surely, my life changed. You know how in Amazing Grace, they say I was blind and now I see? They weren't kidding. Mm-hmm. I saw things so much more clearly once I dedicated at least 30 minutes to God every day. When I prioritized Him, when I made Him the beginning of my every day to carry me through. And that's what changed my life.
So at some point in time, you started to see results and you said, this is working. I'm going to keep doing this.
Well, I realized that I can fight my bad feelings or my depression. For example, if, let's say, I call him pickpocket. I don't like to say devil. Let's say pickpocket is trying to make me feel bad. And he did that to the saints, by the way. He gave them depression to the point that they couldn't even pray.
And he's dying for a saint.
Yeah, right. So, you know, it does happen. So what I do is, like, the more bad I feel, or the more frustrated or things get frustrating, the less I'm going to care, the more good things I'm going to do, the closer I'm going to get to God, the more good deeds I'm going to do. And I learned that doing good for others and doing the right thing and doing deeds in silence is what made me feel better. Not drinking. I don't drink anymore. Not escaping. Not avoiding the situation or ignoring the problem. Dealing with it. Accepting with it and learning that's a piece of puzzle of the part of your life for a greater purpose. And I thank God for this insight because it didn't come to me up until I started praying and I took God seriously and I prayed every day. And that's what it was for me. It just happened by chance. What was it for you?
Well, I have to say it's pretty much in a similar way, and obviously the details are different, but I learned that my focus on constantly trying to find all the answers for myself. See, let me back up. I had a very different growing up. I'm a first-generation American. My parents came from Italy. This was about as loving and caring a household as you can imagine. I had everything of what was important in my life. But I didn't necessarily trust in something outside of myself to get things done. I had to do it. I had to figure it out. It had to be this way, and so on and so forth. I didn't trust. And as a result of reading certain books, following certain speakers, I started to have an understanding that there is more out there at my disposal if I would just be in contact with it. And the most appropriate and the most effective way to be in contact with it is through prayer, is through that surrender, is through saying, yes, I trust. I am with you. I'll follow your lead.
I would have saved myself a lot of suffering had I trusted God more. When it came to paying $1,000 a day to my attorney, I didn't believe God would provide that. But when I couldn't do what I was doing to make that happen, God provided an attorney who would represent me for free, which is a miracle, by the way.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Thank you, Jay Levy, if you're listening.
Well, I found a quote from the Bible that reinforces exactly what we're talking about in terms of prayer and having confidence and knowing that what you pray for can and will come into your life. And this is Mark 11:24. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted to you. The believe part is the most important. Trust. It's happened.
That's where faith comes in from. And I've done some amazing things in my life that I believe could have only have been done with God. And it's just not the things that I know, but God does communicate with us. I use, for example, music. Music is very therapeutic. And I swear to you, there's times that the words in the music or the music that's playing, it has exactly to do with the way you're feeling and gives you exactly the right answer. And I'll give you an example. One day, I had a very bad night. I had nightmares, and I felt very sick, and all the muscles in my body were hurting. I thought I had come down with the flu, and my stomach hurt, and everything hurt, and I felt so, so sick, and I've never felt so sick. And then in the morning, I read the Book of Saints sometimes, and one saint said, why did you let me suffer for so long? Why didn't you step in sooner? And he said something like, it takes a while to make a masterpiece. But as I'm thinking this, I'm not listening to the song that's playing on the radio. Guess what song plays? Cross Me. So the song even says, that's my seed. If you cross her, you cross me. And it's basically saying, God is saying, I got your back. Don't worry about it. Do not fear.
Well, at least you understand it that way.
That's good enough. That's good enough.
That's good messages.
What matters is how you understand it. You get the message from this, that someone else may get a different message, but that's what matters the most, is how it touches you.
Exactly.
That was the first time I heard that song. And if you hear that song, it's amazing. It really is. And, I mean, look at the way that God blesses us. And that God made us in His image. So we are all given special gifts to survive. Like this doctor friend of mine said, well, somebody else may not be capable like you. Well, that's kind of judging, right? Because how do you know? Each one of us have different gifts. And even though it may not show in paper or in grades or in career, they might have other gifts that are amazing that other people don't have. And we just have to tap into it.
Absolutely.
I really believe that, because everybody is special and is loved by God. And I thank people like you, Bill, that you're able to share your story, that you wrote a book, that you care to help others. And I think the more we bring people to this way of thinking, the less people will suffer. Because I have to tell you, Bill, I have to admit, it hurts me that people suffer. I know what it's like to suffer, and it's not fun. But your book called The Process of Living, has it come out yet, or where can we find it?
Well, it's probably a month or two away. I'm learning that publishing the book is much harder than writing it.
Tell me about it.
Yeah, I know. I had no idea, but I have wonderful people who are helping me, caring people who have given more than I had expected, more than they promised. And I'm very, very grateful to that. And I think that we're not too far away, but getting very close to the point where it'll be released.
Nice. I think God influences people. And that's why the right person comes into our path. It's fate. But you're also a speaker. Anytime you might come down to Miami.
Well, now I could be convinced to do that. Absolutely.
Nice. We would love that.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful.
And is there a website? I mean, I will put your information on my website. And or is there a website? Or how can people find out where you have your speaking engagements in case they wanna attend?
We invite you.
The domain is theprocessofliving.com. That's where it's going to be. But the website, we're in design right now. I expect that website to be up and running, I would say, no later than the end of the first week of August. We will have all the pieces in place. And I would say anyone who's listening would like to get in touch, wait till about the end of the first week in August. You'll be able to go to that site, and you'll see the web page with much information, including any speaking engagements I have at that time.
Very nice.
Nice. I mean, I know that once I can fix myself, I can help others. That's my true belief. But guys, you know, we reach the end of the show again. And it's been wonderful, Bill. You've been a wonderful guest. Thank you so, so much. And a big thank you to all the listeners. And thank you, Bill DeBarba, for being
thank
on the
you,
show.
Amy, I'm honored that you asked me to join you. I appreciate
thank
it very
you. My pleasure. More information on Bill DeBarba and his book can be found on amycabo.com under guests. This has been The Cure. I'm your host, Amy Cabo. Thanks for listening. 'Cause I love me, I love me, I love me, I love myself anyway. Hey.